Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
And Zach and Megan serve in Thailand and been a part of this church. They were sent from this church. Zach and I have known each other for 15 years. We met each other when we were 18. Mm-hmm. And Zach and Megan are doing awesome work in Thailand along with Matt and Amber Price, and they're going to tell you a little bit more about that. So let's say hi to Zach this morning and make sure he feels really welcome.
Thanks. We'll love this. It's fun being among people that like you feel like you kind of know, but only get to see from time to time. This is my fan club in the front. I gave them each $10, and so, you know, they're going to stay on top of things throughout the course of the morning. Robin looks like she's having a great time, by the way. It's fun. Daughter's in Africa right now and following her on Instagram. Anyways, my name's Zach. My wife and I and our three kids, when we left, we had two. The nation that we're serving in is called Thailand. And it's a nation of about 70 million people, plus minus 1% Christian. We decided in order to see the growth of Christians come there that we would commit to procreation. And so every year we're going to have another child. And my wife said no. She's actually encouraged me to go see a doctor about that. So here I might have an encounter. Ruben was telling me about somebody who only costs $150. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But true story. Too much information. Didn't work. Anyways, the next slide is a picture of my family. And I need to just like share this with you that typically like when we travel, we try to go together as family because we have three kids. But my wife is on the island with three kids all on her own because I'm a neglectful husband. And I'm not, okay? But I thought people would probably judge me. My insecurities were like, they're probably like, why is he on his own when his wife has three kids there, a newborn that's a month old? Because she's sharing somewhere else this morning on the island, and so were our kids. And so we divided and conquered. So I got to come spend time with you guys. She got to spend some time on the island with her friends and family in her home church. And this is where we are. But that's my son. His name is Isaiah. It's not Isaiah, it's Isaiah, and he's 3 years old, and he goes by Flash Dash Iron Man. He often calls me the Hulk, which you can imagine why, and then when I tell him, he's like, you want to race? I'm super fast, and I'll, like, sometimes I'm really literal with him. I'm like, Isaiah, you're not faster than me, and he's like, yeah, I am. I'm like, no, you're not, and he's like, yeah, I am, and he gets really upset. So he lives in a constant delusional state of, like, strength and speed. My daughter is a lot more grounded in knowledge of herself. She's almost 6 years old. Her name's Eleanor, and she goes by Ella. And Eleanor has a really unique way of hearing from God, except when you're like, Ella, do you believe in God? She's like, I don't know. And she'll talk about how he's spoken to her, and then she'll get upset and say, he doesn't talk to me. And so I share my doubts about God with her, and she counsels me and helps lead me through it, and then I do her. And so we're just trying to figure out who Jesus is and together. And that's our son, Isra. Say with me, Isra. Right, so you're like, never heard that before, that's weird, kind of like Isaiah. I know, I can see your judgy eyes. And so, Isra is, this is where you're going to think, oh, that's really cool, what a good missionary. So, we live in Thailand, and there's a word, and the word is Isara, and Isara means freedom or liberty. And so we took Isara, which we would want our son's life to be marked by, bringing it, marked by it, and we took Ezra, which means to be a helper, and we put it together, and we made Isra. And so to our Thai friends, they're like, oh, what's your son's name? And or what's your child's name? And we're like, Isara. And they're like, oh, that's so beautiful. Suai Mak. And we're like, it's not beautiful. It's handsome because it's a boy. And then our friends that are English or speak English, we're like, oh, his name's Isra. And they're like, oh, that's really unique. It's kind of from Ezra. So Ezra, Isara, Isra. Together. My wife and I are celebrating our 33rd year of living on this earth this year. Married nine of those 33 years come August, which is great, and we won't be having any more children. But together, we serve with our good friends, Matthew and Amber Price, who we were launched together from with here. They arrived a month ahead of us. We arrived there, and we've been in Thailand serving for about a year and a half. And the cool thing is about Thailand right now is that Christianity within the nation of Thailand is actually growing at a faster rate than there are people dying and being born every year. So population growth, which is the first time in the history of the nation within the last 12 years. And so we are in a nation that is less than a little bit more than 1% Christian and has existed. It was up until almost 55, 60 years ago, it was like 0.16% Christian. And so where we're at as a nation at 1% right now is actually like really like considerable amount of growth in a quite short period of time. And then to like paint an even neater picture for us that we get to participate in is that our Pentecostal movement within Thailand that began almost 70 years ago took 11 years to plant their first church. And we'd be like, that's brutal. They suck. Like, I could do that. I thought those things. I'm like, really? 11 years to like see fruit or to do something? Like, what were we doing wrong? Nothing. People were dying and getting diseases and car crashes and the good and the evil that we know and talk about was live and at work. And so it took time to get to that place. But here we are. In the last 2 years, we've planted 6 churches, and there's 4 more that are coming in the coming year. And that doesn't include the disciple-making movements that are happening that are numbering in the dozens. And so we're seeing a really unique thing happen in the nation of Thailand. And I think it's like every global worker or missionary's dream or idea, like to come back and to be able to like share like stories of triumph and victory and great stuff happening. But the reality is that most of the time, none of that actually happens or has taken place without the like death and disease and all the bad things that you read about people experiencing to then experience fruit. The laboring in a field full of rocks with thorns and thistles and no water and drought and like, God, are you even alive? Are you even moving? What's going on? And so for some reason, I don't know why, but God's allowed us in the same way that he's allowed you to live right now and be in fields that other people have been laboring in for dozens, even hundreds of years and seeing such little fruit. And now we're beginning to see the fruit, the answers to prayers of hundreds of years of praying, hundreds of years of laboring. And we're beginning to see the soil split, the sprout begin to grow. And we're like, why are we part of this? And so there's great joy and excitement that we have. And that's what I want to talk about today as we look at John chapter 4, verses 36 to 38, that everything that we do is in partnership with those who have gone before us, is in partnership, inclusive of Jesus who's gone before us, is in partnership with the one who's working in and through us right now, that's God, and those who will come after us, inclusive of those that we don't know. And in some neat way, we get to experience the joy of the fruit, if you will, good Christian term, of the labor, another good Christian term, the work of other people, in spite of not being the ones who've done the work to get to that place. And I think, wow, like what a God we serve that he would allow us to be part of things like fields that we did not till, homes to live in homes that we did not build, to eat food that we did not grow. And yet we get to participate in that. On the flip side, we're also the ones who build homes that are empty and toil fields that never yield a crop and make food that none eat and tastes bland and ugh. But that's the way his kingdom works. And so today I want to journey through our story of who we are as an organization and scripture and kind of meld the two together. And so, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are our teacher and our counselor. And I've said that. This is the 4th time I've said that this morning. But thank you that even in this morning, you have been teaching and counseling me as we look at your word and share stories, a testimony of what it is that you're up to. And I pray that you would speak this morning, that you would give us spiritual eyes and ears to see and to hear what it is that you're up to, and the faith to trust that maybe what it is that you're calling us to, God, would be to labor without seeing fruit, but to still say yes on account of those who would follow. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. So I want to introduce you to who we are and what we do. I get the privilege of serving with Amber and Matthew Price, who are our friends who launched from here, on the lead team of Imagine Thailand. Imagine Thailand is a Thai-based foundation that was started in 2008 is when we got our foundation status, but really what we began doing was in 2002 when some Canadian missionaries began to serve alongside the Thai church in Thailand. And what began as campus ministry and leadership development turned into relief and development as the tsunami hit in 2004, and southwestern Thailand, just north of Phuket, was ravaged by the tsunami. And so we were able to take students from the university who were non-Christians with those who were Christians down to be some of the first responders in Thakwapa, where the tsunami had hit. We asked the government, what is it that we can do to help? Because everybody's telling you what they want to do, but we want to ask you, what is it that you would have us do? And they said, we need education center, because the schools have been wiped out, and most of the kids here don't go past grade six education. So after opening the center and being there for 3 years, when all the other organizations left and relief and development work had moved on and the money had ran out, we were in the same place as all the other organizations, saying, like, do we stay or do we go? And we asked the local government again, what would you have? And they're like, will you stay? And they gave us land, and another person gave us a building. And so by God's grace, we've been there for 10 years, impacting a community. Learning Center there is now like the longest serving Christian organization and has been there longer than any church which is in the area. But it began as a learning center that was reaching into the community, meeting a need that they had seen. And as a result of that, we've seen a kids church open and 60, 70 kids a week coming through kids church now, which is more Christians in the kids church a week than there is people in the largest church, which is in the community, which is a really unique opportunity. And the parents of those kids are saying, our kids are coming home with questions that we don't have answers to. Can you begin teaching us some of the stuff that you're teaching our kids so we can begin answering that? And so we've launched an adult kind of alpha Bible study and eating group on Wednesdays, and I'll tell you more about who the people who are doing that. But when you think creating strong communities, and the strong community we believe is founded on people knowing Christ. What good is just doing good works if there isn't an introduction of Him into their lives? And so clean water, has being the only provider of clean water drinking systems in one of the areas of Thailand, has given us an opportunity to be in places that no churches can go and be, and as a result of that, become the only Christian presence and witness that now has helped plant a home church in the area that we can invite people to. The soy milk, the distribution of soy milk, nutrient-rich vitamin soy milk, has been an opportunity to then go in and have teams come and teach English, which is actually a vacation Bible school, to begin to introduce people to that as soy milk. And it's not a bait and switch, like, oh, we'll do this if you do this. They've said, like, we've seen the benefits of this. Please feel free to share, to do whatever it is that you want. And so we're walking through doors of opportunity that have come as a result of people being present. So this is our team, this is some of the stuff that we've done this last year. Clean water projects, the shoes out there are just outside the Lighthouse Learning Center, which we helped finish the completion of the second phase of it, so we could have high school students coming to the Learning Center each week, which has now become Sunday school. Cups for kids, we gave out 2,600 cups for soy milk last year that allowed people to do soy milk, but then where they come and receive it is given in partnership with the local church and pastor, so trying to build inroads for the pastor into the community that way. And then this idea of it taking a village, bridging communities, building community. Everything that we do, we try to do in partnership with the local church and the community. We're, for whatever reason, given an opportunity to go places where Christians and pastors and people can't because of how it is that we do it. But if we just stay with good work and don't move into an introduction of why and what motivates it, then we miss something. And so we do it in partnership, building community together. Next slide. So this is some of our Imagine Thailand team. We've since added another, and we'll have two more that join us in the coming year. It's made up of Canadians, Brits, Newfies, because they're kind of Canadian, but on the side. Our Thai team, and some Burmese from Burma as well. And this is Imagine Thailand. So when you think Amber and Matthew and Zach and Megan, it's not just us and our kids and our new babies, which they also just had a few weeks ago. It's our Thai staff. It's our Burmese staff that are working with us. It's our English staff, which is working with us. And so Imagine began many years ago in a place that at a Chula Longhorn University, which is a university kind of like the Harvard of Thailand, of Bangkok. And so it's about a campus of about 40,000 people, the smartest, the brightest, the richest go to this university. For whatever reason, God opened opportunity for our founder to begin teaching leadership development there. Leadership development led to, we need to have students have a space to connect where we can begin to search deeper questions of life that's coming out of servant leadership teaching. So we opened the first Christian coffee shop on campus. It was like 140 square feet, like super small. And that Christian coffee shop led to an English corner, which led to small groups, which led to a church plant. There's about 35 new people coming in. This just last year, between 60 and 80, would call it home. Missions trips up to different parts and down to different parts where Imagine is working, connecting Christians and non-Christians together to go and serve and encounter Christ along the way and then come back. And so leadership camps are happening, English corners happening, leadership teaching is happening, a coffee shop's in full motion, and then the school says, hey, we're going to knock down the gym, but we like what you're doing as far as the leadership development stuff goes, and so we want to give you the gym, and this will be the Chula Longhorn leadership like facilities. And we're like, what? Like, this is wild. We couldn't do it because we didn't have enough people, and the founder at the time was moving to Myanmar, and one of the other teachers was heading back to Singapore. It was a missionary that was there, and so we're like, oh, man, everything's flying. So along comes, next slide, please. Along comes a gal named Hannah, English girl, who'd been living in Thailand for a bit, and she says, I got a passion for campus ministry, so she takes over the leadership development, the ESL, the English corner, the students coming to small group kind of stuff, and within 6 years, it goes from 60 to 80 per day coming through the coffee shop, 60 to 80 a week coming through English corner, church, whole nine yards, to zero. And part of me is like, what's the problem? Like, what did you do? Like, the mean person in me is like, how does that happen? Like, you literally were given, like, here's the golden goose, the thing that everything is happening around, and it's just emptied. And she was feeling the same way. Like, what happened? Like, what have I done? She was faithfully serving, doing the same things that we were doing before, except the results were different. It wasn't happening. 6 years, and rather than growth, nothing. September rolls around last year, and she's like, I got to go on a sabbatical for a period of time. We're like, that's probably a good idea. Like, anybody who's been experiencing what you've been experiencing, how you've been investing, would probably feel a little bit worn, a little bit miffed. So like, go away. So she hands over the stuff that she's doing to somebody else who's present. And during her time away, there's over 20 new people that begin coming. People are connected with the small group, going to the local church, which is there. There's a trip, another missions leadership kit thing. It's open. The law department says, the faculty of law says, we want you to come do leadership development where we are. The faculty of pharmaceutical sciences opens back up. We do a leadership, just all this stuff begins happening again. Years of her work draining to nothing, and then somebody else comes in, and all of a sudden, fruit begins to come. And 2 weeks ago, I sat with her, and she gave this metaphor, analogy, or whatever it's called, this image, and she's like, when she came back, I was like, Hannah, what do you think? Like, what's happening? Isn't this exciting? Isn't this good? And she's kind of like, I guess. What do you mean? Like, you guess. Like, stop navel gazing. Like, look how good this is. It's like, I've been serving for 6 years, and all I've done is seen the empty of things, and now good things are happening, and we began to talk. I'm like, I know a good Christian would be like, yeah, way to go. Like, the Lord's using you and good stuff, but she's like, I want to believe that, but it's, like, hard for me to, like, get to that point right now because I exhausted myself and saw nothing. And so she said, I kind of picture it this way. How many of you go to the casino? Anyone? Safe. This is a safe place for confession. No? All right. So I've never been to the casino either, but I know that there's slot machines there because I watch movies. And in the slot machines, people take dimes or quarters or whatever it is that they're doing. My grandma tells me she's got a $20 limit when she goes to the casino. And they put it into the slot machine, and you pull the handle, and you pull, and you watch, and you're trying to get like three of the same thing. And if you get the cherry bomb, then ding, 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 ding. But most people put money into the slot machine and they never get anything. And then somebody else comes along. So Hannah's talking about, I feel like I've been sitting at a slot machine for the last 6 years. Dime, 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 dime. And finally she's like, wow, whatever. Like, I spent my $10 limit. And like moves over to the slot machine next door. And it was like, I guess I'll try this one. And somebody comes in who's got a butt hanging out their mouth and burping, farting, whatever, not paying attention to what's going on. And they sit down and like put in a dime and aren't even looking at what's happening and pull the thing and like, bang. Ding, 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 and they're like, oh, like, look, so she's telling me this, and I was like, doesn't that excite you? She's like, because I'm the person kind of sitting to the side, I pulled in, like, doesn't that excite you? She's like, I want to be, like, I should be. I think when we read the scripture here, Luke and Ryan unpacked some stuff last week about We read about Jesus talking to this Samaritan woman, which was like super faux pas. And then the disciples ask him if he's hungry, and he says, "I eat food that you don't know about." And they're kind of confused. And he then launches into this language about harvest and like, "Look, I tell you, lift up, look up, look around, see what's available to you." And I feel like Hannah's like, I've been looking, and supposedly there's a harvest here, and I'm doing everything it is that I can. Supposedly there's supposed to be fruit, but for 6 years, nothing. Like, look, I'm looking, I'm doing the right thing, and yet still I'm seeing nothing. And then Jesus continues and he says, "Already the one who reaps," so is gathering, "is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together." And Hannah's saying, like, rejoice together? Like, that's hard for me to want to rejoice with you. And if we're honest, when we put in the labor, when we put in the time, when we toil the soil and we don't see the fruit or the reward, oftentimes it's a little bit disappointing. And so as I was studying this word and looking at it, I started asking myself, would I be willing to pray prayers that I wouldn't see myself being the answer to? Would I pray a prayer that I wouldn't see myself being an answer to? Because if I'm honest with you, I'm a bit of a narcissist. I like to see the fruit of my labor. I like to see we planned this, we dreamed this, we executed it, and this is the fruit, and this is good. And Hannah had put in the work, had done everything that she could do, and wasn't being the one who was reaping, if you will, the harvest or experiencing the fruit of her labor. Or was she? And so I asked Hannah in the same conversation. I'm like, "Hannah, what's your future look like? Are you sticking around or going? Like, there's some good stuff that's happening now. We've been invited into this faculty and this faculty and this faculty and leadership development here and English Corner here. We've got trips that are planned, students that are coming in, people making decisions for Christ. What do you think?" And she's like, "I think I'm done. When my work permit and my visa expires in October, November, that's it." And like, part of me was like, "What's your problem?" Like, in my head, like, why? Like, things are happening. Like, if it was me, I'd be like, no. This is when people are going to see that all the work that I've done is finally paying off. And all those naysayers that were like, "What are you doing? Why are you there? Why are we giving you money when there's not even fruit? Like, come on, what kind of missionary are you? What are you doing?" I'm like, no, now I can prove it. Now I can show them that it's worth staying here. And Hannah, this is just reflecting. I realized this while I was speaking a few services ago, like, Hannah in wisdom, without realizing it, says, "No, this isn't my fruit to reap." And I'm like, "What?" Like, and she didn't mean like, "I'm not going to participate in it." She's like, "But I'm okay with somebody else like doing that." I'm like, "What? Like, really?" No, there's language about reaping and sowing that's here, but the point of the passage is equally as much about some are reapers and some are sowers, some soil, toil, some reap and just gain the thing. But then there's this verse which talks about the joy that comes from gathering the fruit, the sower and the reaper. The reaper, even when the sower isn't present, the sower gets to experience the joy that the reaper is in. And it brought me back to like Moses being promised the promised land, being shown the promised land, milk flowing, milk and honey, the whole nine yards. And then God brings him to the mountain and says, "And guess what? Because the sin of all these people, you don't get to go in and see it." Like, Moses had every reason to throw his hands up at God and throw his sandal or whatever and be like, "Really? Are you serious? 40 years? Wandering the desert? Like, toiling? No fruit? People are dying? And the promised land is there and I don't get to see it? Really? Elijah, here's my jacket, Elijah. Like, take it and go and do things that I wouldn't have never done, been able to do before. Like, really? Like, Elijah, this is your time to shine, buddy." Jesus, 3 years of ministry, or 33. People are just starting to come. Like, this is when the guy is at the pinnacle of his game. Like, this would be when he could take off and be superstar. And he's like, "Instead, I'm going to allow the Father's will to take place, and I'm going to hand it off to you guys, the B team." And then you guys are going to take it to a place, John chapter 14, 12, I think, like, "Because I'm sending you the Spirit, you'll be able to do everything that I did and more because of my death." Really? Like, Jesus, you could have sown and reaped huge and decided to let somebody else reap? No, because I'm not. I'm reaping it with them, because the sower and the reaper reap arm in arm. They take part in joy arm in arm. They reap the eternal fruit arm in arm. what about now? Like, people in our lives and families, that, like, I think of my parents who came to faith after my siblings and I did. And, like, I don't know the dozens of people that prayed for them, for my dad and for my mom. And yet, for whatever reason, we got to be the ones who were there with them when they said yes to Jesus. Are the people who went before being like, that's not fair? What about at work, just in a very, like, vocational standpoint? Like, somebody else gets a promotion, and we think, like, I'm the one who got them there. I'm the one who did all the work. I let them be the point person on this project because I wanted to see them, and now they're getting the promotion and not me. Like, would we be willing to do the work so that another would get the glory that's not ours? But in some kingdom way, based on what this is saying here, we get to arm in arm, link the reaper and sower, participate in the joy that comes from the fruit of that. And this is in the context of people coming to know Christ and Jesus, but I love how scripture applies itself to different parts of our life. And I'm like, if I can't celebrate when somebody else comes to Jesus when it wasn't me, then can I celebrate when somebody else has a victory that I want, I've been asking, praying for, and I'm not having it? It's a peculiar thing. So I honor Hannah in what it is that she's doing, and I think, wow, like, I wish I could be like that. I don't know if I could, but Lord, give me the ability to see arm in arm, not one more than another, and to know when it's my time to go and now another person to take it to the place that it needs to be. Powerful. Next slide, please. These are our friends. The guy in the bottom left corner, his name's Fluke, Luke with an F, and Hannah's been working with him for the last number of years. He came to university, second year, got involved in English Corner. We went and did a service trip to a different place, took Christians from a life group and joined them with non-Christians from the university. University students joined together, went and served somewhere on the trip. One of the Christians were like, hey, Fluke, why don't we get together? Go for coffee, goes for coffee with Fluke, says, hey, there's a group of us that eat together each week, Friday nights, you're welcome to come, we study the Bible. Fluke says, cool, I like the way that you guys live and what you're into, so goes and is coming, has gone to the Christmas service, the Easter service, and is on journey to knowing Christ. And Hannah was sent a picture a couple days ago, she went with him to Cambodia and Vietnam, and they're traveling together with a group of other, like, non-Christian students that are there. And I said, hey, Hannah, isn't it cool to consider, like, how far it is that you've come with him? She's like, yeah, he's not yet a Christian, but he's on his way. I thought, awesome. Like, good that you get that and you see that. Next slide. Our friends, Takente, are in Takwapa, where we have a learning center. And Takente came to faith at different points in life, but they've been serving there for almost 8 years. And Ying, on the left-hand side, wasn't a Christian when she started working with us. But Takente, joining with those who have gone before them and those who will go after us, had an opportunity of leading Ying to Christ and are now having the opportunity to disciple her. The girl in the middle, the young woman in the middle, a mom to two girls, Pi Pen, isn't yet a Christian, but she's been with us and teaches at Sunday school and teaches at the kids, the after-school learning stuff throughout the course of the week. And when asked about, like, where are you at with things, her recent response, I shared this with the service before, she's like, the gist of it is that she's not yet ready to give her life to Jesus because she understands how much it costs. And but they are another link. We don't know the dozens of prayers before that, but they get to participate with her now, and we don't know if they're ever going to lead. Takente will have the opportunity to have that joy of seeing that, but they're able to participate in the joy of that at another time because of what it is that they've been involved in now. Next slide. Our friend that worked for Imagine Thailand down in the deep south in a Muslim-populated area, non-Christian, more Muslims than there are Buddhists that are in that area, and they've been serving for almost 6 years, no fruit. Great missionaries, hey? Amazing. Serving faithfully at a university, hundreds of students every single year, inviting them into their home, baking classes, games, night. Like, how many of you have 120 university students into your home every single night, every single week, three nights out of the week, and share Christ, Easter, Christmas, whole nine yards, and no one comes to Jesus for 6 years? You feel like you're banging your head against a wall. And all of a sudden, Lord gives us this girl named Oh, who's over my right shoulder here, who's from the north, parents died, grandma raised her, sent her to Bible college in Bangkok. She does her undergrad, then her master's degree, and finds that God's calling her to the deep south of Thailand, where Christians don't go, where Buddhists don't go, but God's calling her here to be a missionary in her own country, and shows up to begin serving with Jaren and Cindy. So we hire her to begin working with us. She enrolls herself in the university, begins living with people that are at the university so she can rub shoulders with them, launches Alpha 12 weeks ago. 2 weeks in, two of the people were like, can we have Bibles? So she's been going through the Bible with these two students that are there, and these students are saying, we want to do Alpha, it just finished. They're like, we want to lead Alpha for our friends. They're not Christians yet, but we want to, they're reading the Bible on a daily basis with roommates. We want to do Alpha for our friends so they have the same kind of information and understanding that we do about God, that this God that you're talking about. Jaron and Cindy could be like, really? Like 6 years and all of a sudden a month in here, this person shows up and they start doing things and like they're just reaping this, the opportunity, the things that we prayed for. No, they don't, which I'm grateful for. They've been honest and being like, we kind of feel stupid, like for 6 years, like nothing. And then shows up and like something special about her. We don't know what or why, but God appointed at that time, in that place, with those people, as a result of the 6 years of relationships that Jaron and Cindy had been investing in the university and the students, that O could come along and meet these students and bring them to a place that Jaron and Cindy, who speak the language but don't speak it in the same way a Thai does, who understand the culture but don't understand it in the same way that a Thai person does, who understand the religion but not in the same way, could hand it and in with like faith and trust link arm to arm in partnership, reaper and sower, to experience the joy that comes with the eternal reward from it. It's powerful. It's good stuff. Next slide. So Jaron and Cindy, I shared this at the very beginning. They see hundreds of students every week, but we started disciple-making communities, disciple-making movement, and like small groups, people reading the Bible. And so there's like dozens of students who are reading the Bible on a weekly basis now who don't know it, who are multiplying and inviting other people into it. And so our goal is to have 20 by August, and we're like shooting, we're like on track for it. And again, like O is at the center of something that Jaron and Cindy had helped start, partnership, beautiful thing. Okay, next slide. So this is P. Limoy. She's the founder and country director of Imagine Thailand, and that's my wife next to her, and that's Nene, who's our Burmese worker in Mae Sot. And P. Limoy, when she was a teenager, she went to university, and when she was at university, someone shared Jesus with her. And that person had no idea who had come before, the dozens, maybe few conversations, maybe the one, the two, the three, but they had the joy in that moment of partnering with the people who'd gone before them. Limoy came to faith and is just an absolute humble powerhouse, like so quiet, so there. But she is seen on the same level as monks, as a spiritual leader in the city in which she finds herself. By military officials, police officials, teachers, the people of the area. She just started a home church that is in Mae Sot at our center, and people are beginning to come to that. But that's because she's been going and being present in the schools, in the communities, where it is that we're serving. But the relationships that Limoy has weren't started by her, because there was a family that was there for 2 years before she arrived and another family that was there a year before, but they handed these relationships off to Limoy. And I'm like, this is wild. Most of our staff who has come to faith because of Limoy. And so now there's dozens of kids at Lighthouse Learning Center who are beginning to know Jesus as a result of the investment she made in our few. But she's not getting to see the students come to faith on a weekly basis or the fruit of what that is in a direct way, but she celebrates and has joy with them because that's the way partnership with God works. It's a really neat thing. The next picture is two people who've come to faith through a staff of ours and have since gone off and are multiplying where they are as well. We get to share their stories and stories of other people. I kind of feel like a little bit weird. Like, I feel like I've done nothing. Like, we've been there for a year and a half, and the doors of opportunity and what we're beginning to see is, like, it's what, like, what global workers want to come back and give, like, a really good glowing report. And for you to think, like, wow, aren't they awesome? And isn't God doing really cool things there? And that's wild. Like, that's the front edge of missions. But the front edge of missions is built on drought and hard soil, dead people, people wanting to quit, nothing happening for months and weeks and years at a time. And the same is so in our families and in the relationships with the people around us. We look around and we're like, is anything happening? And yet, something beyond what we know and understand, God is working in and through people and connecting past and future together and saying, come, link arm in arm with me and those who have gone before and those who will come after you that you don't know yet, that we would see my kingdom established here on this earth, one that transforms mind, one that transforms heart, one that transforms life. And so I think like when I think of God and his graciousness and generosity towards us to invite us into things that we haven't worked for and allow us to celebrate and experience the joy and things that we really haven't toiled for. What kind of boss is that? Like, what kind of person is that? Like, I want to share, you get to share in this even though you have done nothing. And then, like, we then get to say to others, like, hey, come and share. Hannah, come and share in what it is that you've done. Let me point you back to what it is that you've done to be an encouragement to her in that moment when she's feeling like nothing is there. Because we know that we need it when we're the person who's been toiling and striving and doing everything that we can and experiencing what we would think is absolutely nothing. God in his goodness is working beyond and around and through and is allowing somebody to come after or even in that moment and experience something that they get to invite us into being part of. I think that's great. Luke and Ryan last week talked about opening our eyes to seeing what's around us. And when we open our eyes to seeing what's around us, I think we open our eyes to seeing the partnership that's available to us with those who have gone before us, those who are going after us. In the Message, which is a translation of the Bible, we read this in the same portion of scripture, and I think it's a really neat understanding or interpretation of it. And it says this. Let me read it to you now. The harvester isn't waiting. He's taking his pay, gathering in the grain that's ripe for eternal life. Now, the sower is arm in arm with the harvester, triumphant. I think, man, what a beautiful picture of what life with God is like. Arm in arm, triumphant. I want to have that perspective. I long to have my heart see things that way. And I'm grateful for God's patience with me when I am reluctant to accept my role and place in things. And then the moments when I miss the opportunity to invite others into what it is that God is doing. And so my prayer for you and for me is that we would have eyes to see what it is that God is up to, and that we would be people who have our arms out ready to link with those who have gone before us and those who will come behind us, knowing that everything that we do is in partnership. It's a really neat thought. So Lord, thank you that you've called us into partnership, and we get to celebrate. We look back on history, like Luke was talking about earlier in his reading of the Psalms, Lord, and remember what it is that you've done in those dark and dismal times. But we can also look at those victorious times and say, thank you, God, that you have worked then, and so we believe that you can work now. And so, God, I pray for those who feel like they have been laboring but have been seeing no fruit. God, would you show them the joy that is found in serving you? God, would you open their eyes of their mind and their heart to see joy that's found doing life arm in arm with you and your people? God, for those who don't know you and don't know the joy of knowing you, God, I pray that you would speak to their mind, that you would speak to their heart, God, that you would remind them that you are on mission for their heart and for their mind, God, that their life has significance and value and that joy can be found in the everyday, God, living with you. And so we thank you for the life-changing power that knowing you brings in our life. And we say thank you again for partnership, that we don't do anything alone, that we do it with you. So, Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done, Lord, in our life on this planet. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Zach. This is a picture of being arm in arm. We'd like to pray over Zach because we only get to see him on very, very few occasions. So if you're on our pastoral team or our council, or if you know Zach and Megan, why don't you come on up and we're just going to pray. So Zach, maybe you could stand on that ledge just as a picture of being arm in arm with you. We'd like to pray over you now as we send you out again. Thank you, gracious Lord, for what you are doing in Thailand and what you are doing through Zach and Megan and Matt and Amber. And thank you for Imagine Thailand. We love that name. Imagine what is possible. Thank you for people who have toiled, who have given, and who have done the work. And thank you that things are starting to crack open a little bit. Thank you, God. And we ask that you would crack things open more. Lord, would you give the Prices and the Wileys absolutely everything they need, pressed down, shaken together, so that they can do what you've called them to do. God, we pray that you give them broad imaginations, unique perspectives, to not necessarily put the bit between their teeth, but to lift up their eyes and to see what they're doing. Give them such a grand perspective, and continue to give us that perspective, God. Thank you for the joy of partnership, and we bless Zach as we send him out, and may his time in Canada be joyful and restful and everything it needs to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We will see you next week and throughout the week together as we get together in homes. Have a great day.